Hi, I'm Ruby Ryder. Welcome to Prison Paradise Podcast number 249 on August 19th, 2019. Changing the world one ass at a time. If you'd like to support my efforts to deconstruct the myths and misconceptions around pegging and offer accurate information to all who seek it, head on over to Patreon and become a patron of my work. All patrons have access to the podcast a day early, as well as a 24/7 chat channel full of pegging practitioners from all over the world. Rewards for the various levels of support include written and audio erotica to excite and inspire. Just go to patreon.com/rubyrider, or you can click the Become a Patron button on my website. If you prefer to avoid the recurring monthly charges, you can always make a one-time donation by simply doing the math. For example, $20 a month times 12 months equals $240, and you will get the same benefits as a $20 a month patron. The link to make a one-time donation is just underneath the Patron button on the right side of my website. One more way to support my work is through EnticeMe.com, the little black dress of pleasure products. Entice Me offers a carefully curated selection of luxury, body-safe, non-toxic toys for your enjoyment. Go to enticeme.com, #RubyRider, and for 15% off of your entire purchase, use the coupon code RIDER, that's RYDER. If you'd like assistance figuring out which pegging equipment is the very best choice for you, I offer free equipment phone consultations for customers of Entice Me. You'll be supporting my efforts to change hearts and minds about pegging. Hey, hey, everybody. So let's do a patron and donation update.
Yes.
I had a one-time donation person named Spruce Creek, and he switched over and became a $5 a month patron. Spruce Creek, thank you so much. Every dollar makes a difference. You said something when you wrote in and told me about it that it wasn't much. It is, and it really makes a difference. So thank you very much for your generosity. And then moving on to the Movember donations, Mark graciously gave $25 to the cause. So now I am up to $415 for the team and $405 for me, because the team and me are $10 different. I have 42 miles left to go. I have 12 days to do it, and that is close to 4 miles a day, you guys. I've been slacking, but I will get there, I swear to you. And in the spirit of November, I found this way cool article. It was an article about a men's cuddling group in Pennsylvania, and the article was written in March of this year. I'm going to read you select portions of this article, and I'm going to link to it in the Linkorama, of course. Twice a month, half a dozen men gather in Plymouth, meeting to help each other work through past traumas. Their chosen method of healing? Cuddles. It may seem odd, but members of the men's therapeutic cuddle group say the practice has helped them cope with everything from childhood sexual abuse to the loss of family members when they were young. These types of groups can be healthy and helpful for men and women, said Chris Liang, a licensed psychologist and associate professor of counseling psychology at Lehigh University. Liang researches the effect of masculinity on health and was part of a board that helped the American Psychological Association formulate new guidelines on working with boys and men. The guidelines highlight ways in which traditional views of masculinity, such as men are tough and never cry, harm their emotional and physical health. Studies show that men who strongly believe in masculine norms are less likely to get preventative health care, more likely to drink heavily and use tobacco, and more likely to hold negative attitudes towards seeking mental health services. Many men never learn healthy ways to deal with stress, Liang says. Then it can emerge in harmful ways. According to the American Psychological Association, Men commit 90% of homicides in the United States and represent 77% of homicide victims. They're also more than three times as likely as women to die by suicide, and their life expectancy is nearly 5 years shorter, largely because of both violence and the health impact of stress. So yes, this is a great example of exactly why I'm doing what I'm doing this month and trying to raise money for Movember, because these organizations like the Mankind Project and Movember and things like that, and this Cuddle Club, these are really making a difference and these are affecting change. I urge you to go read the entire article because there's a lot more to it than that. There's some personal shared stories in there as well. And this is recent, like I said, March of this year. It's totally cool. So yes, contribute if you can. I am almost halfway to my goal. It was an ambitious goal this year, but hey, I'm going to get there. $1,000. Oh, and one of the things that I decided to do is that all the one-time donations that I receive for Pegging Paradise for the month of November are all going to go to Movember. That's my contribution. And I'm not sure where I stand now. I think I'm at about $25 or $30, but I'll have to check. So yes, anything that is a one-time donation for Pegging Paradise for the month of November goes towards Movember. And let's see, what else do I have here? I'm going to repeat my announcement for the upcoming podcast. The Crossdressing Podcast has a deadline of January 3rd for submission, so all of you lovely crossdressing men out there, please send your contributions in by January 3rd, and the podcast will air on January 7th. And then right on the heels of that is the Bisexual Podcast. The deadline for that is January 17th for all you who you want to write in and tell your stories. And that podcast will air January 20th. And I know I've said this before, but when you send your contributions in, don't feel like it has to be a pretty nice and fun story, you know? Just speak your truth. Just share. Share what it's like to have that part of you, to sometimes love it, to sometimes struggle with it, to have it celebrated, to have it not celebrated. Whatever is real for you is what we all want to hear. I encourage you to send your contributions in, and I'll be really thankful and happy to have them. Okay, and webinars. Wow, you guys, I just finished doing all three webinars on Saturday. That was intense. That was a lot of, like, on time. But I really enjoyed it, and they were all three for free. So I've decided what's going to happen now is starting 2020, I will be doing two times per year where I will have all three podcasts, the beginning, the equipment, and the advanced for free. And I'm going to do it the same way I did on Saturday, which is to do them all on the same day. I actually really like that. And it did encourage people to take all of them or a couple of them because they were sequential and it was really handy to do one and then the other. Especially, I think it's good to take the beginning one and then the equipment one right after that, because always you have so many questions about equipment. And right on the heels of the beginning webinar, after you learn all about it, is a really natural time to take it. So that worked out really well. So here is the schedule for the upcoming webinars, okay? I am going to teach another beginning webinar, and these ones are not free. These are $20, on December 5th, Thursday at 6 p.m. This will be the last beginning pegging webinar of the year. Then I'm going to take a break for the holidays. So December 5th, Thursday at 6 p.m., beginning pegging. And then I'm going to teach two more webinars on equipment. The reason I'm doing this is because, hey, it's Christmas time and pegging equipment is an awesome gift. So I want to give you guys an opportunity to look at all of the equipment choices a couple of times before any gift-giving days that you would like to honor, and in enough time to get your orders in and get it in time. Those two webinars are going to be Sunday, December 8th at 11 in the morning, and Thursday, December 12th at 6 p.m. And all of these are Pacific time, of course. And then nothing for the whole rest of the year. And then in January of 2020, on the 12th, which is a Sunday, I'll be repeating those three webinars in a day thing, the beginning, the equipment, and then the advance. The beginning will be at 10, the equipment will be at 1, and the advance will be at 4. That's January 12th on Sunday. So there you go. That is the webinar schedule. Get down. I did need to move the January 18th webinar, Where Can I Find a Woman to Peg Me, one more week up. It's moved from Saturday the 18th to Saturday the 25th of January at 10 a.m. Turns out there's a kinky weekend event in San Luis Obispo, one of the local communities here. They asked me to teach, and I get a free ride if I teach and get to go up there and participate in a lovely kinky weekend with all kinds of wonderful kinky people and teach them all about equipment and pegging. So yes, the January 18th Where Can I Find a Woman to Peg Me is now going to be held on January 25th, still on a Saturday, at 10 a.m. in the morning. All right, that's enough of the announcements and things. Let's jump into your letters. Hello, Ruby. I'm a huge fan of your work. I'm new to the kink scene, and I really appreciate and respect your opinion, so I figured I'd ask you for advice. How would you recommend, besides Google, to find a pro dom? How would you recommend to find someone in the dating scene that's into pegging? Okay, for the first question, how would I recommend, besides Google, to find a pro dom? Well, one thing you can do is ask for referrals if you know of anyone else who uses pro doms. But that's pretty much it. Google is your thing, man. Google's the thing, and far be it from me to suggest that you should ever be doing anything that is remotely against the law. But should you choose to look for a pro dom, put in pro dom or escort, depending on what level of service you might be seeking, and the city you live in, and there you have it. It's not as easy as it used to be in the days of Backpage, but there are definitely things out there. Now, as to your second question, this is the question I get all the time, and you probably would have no way of knowing that. But yes, I get that question all the time. Where can I find someone to peg me? Which is exactly why I'm going to be teaching that webinar on that on January 25th. So what do I recommend? I recommend that you take the webinar on the 25th. Because there's a whole lot of answers to that question, and there is no magic wand. But there's a ton of information that can absolutely increase your chances. So if you go to my website and click on upcoming webinars, you will see that one on January 25th, Where Can I Find a Woman to Peg Me? Good luck to you, sir. Hope to see you there in the webinar. Here's my next letter. Spruce Creek here. I'm so glad to be an ongoing patron. Warning, a few cheeky puns ahead. Your podcast has really opened things up for me and my partner and has led to so much more. At this point, I think she's listened to more episodes than I have. We always enjoy listening together and checking out the pictures and stories you share. The audio erotica is hot stuff, and you slide your important themes in easily, too. If you don't mind, I want to put a plug in for the pleasure mechanics, too. I think their podcasts and erotic massage and more advice are a great complement to your advice. In my case, the pegging conversation and your wonderful podcast number 112 was just the tip of the, well, realizing how much I have. I was so nervous, I was literally shaking listening to that podcast with her the first time. My erotic life is so vast compared to a year ago, and I can't thank you enough for helping to rise up and thrust it forward. I hope this modest support helps you keep helping others. This is what I referenced when I mentioned that he was one of the new patrons, that he mentioned it was modest support. Everything counts, and it's all very, very generous. I am happy for you that compared to a year ago, that it's a startling and wonderfully pleasant difference for you and your wife. And I had to chuckle when you said that at this point you thought she had listened to more podcasts than you have. Congratulations, you two. Thank you for the support. And way to play that podcast number 112. Took a lot of courage. You were trembling, but good job. See where it got you? Yes. Thank you so much for the update. Here's my next letter. Hi, Ruby. Me and my boyfriend took your free classes a couple weeks ago. Yes, I said boyfriend. A boyfriend that is curious to get pegged by me. I went from being in a relationship that there was no chance for kinks and pegging to one that we are open and willing to play in only a few months. Life changes fast. I never thought it was going to be him, like, ever. He is the only friend that I would tell him about your podcast all the time. For almost a year, he never showed a real interest. He would ask some questions once in a while, but nothing that would say he wanted it. Well, Ruby, we converted him. He was brave enough to ask me. I felt flattered he trusted me, that he really wants to try with me, and I really want to be the one pegging him. Thank you for your guidance. Your classes gave us really good ideas. We took back-to-back the beginners and the advanced webinars. They were practical. The reality was separated from the fantasy. That allowed us to understand what is needed to get and to know beforehand. We feel more confident about having a good experience once we delve into that sexy moment. Now we are planning our shopping list. We don't have a set date for that first time yet. We are in no rush because we know it will happen. I will let you know. Thanks for all you do. Your admirer, Ms. Carter. Ms. Carter, you've got some excitement coming up in your life. And yes, life can change fast. Oh my. So how cool that you took both of the webinars, the beginning and the advanced, and you haven't even done it yet. This is rare. This is like a young person going in for birth control before they ever have sex. Congratulations that you are on the path, and I cannot wait to play the music for you. I'm quite sure you will indeed let me know. Thanks for the letter. And look what we have now. Pegging celebration time. This is someone who wrote me on Reddit. Hello, Ruby. It was a long time ago that you posted a response to my request for suggestions on a pegging harness. In that time, I sent your podcast and website to my girlfriend, and we have tried it twice. The most recent time was Wednesday, and she had a positive experience that culminated with an orgasm for her. I wanted to reach out and thank you for all your help. Well, so I wrote him back and I said, well, that's really cool. If you want to tell me a little bit more of the story, I'd be happy to play the music for you and read it on the podcast, right? Because that's what I do. And you don't have to by any means. And I tell everybody that. If you do it the first time and you just want to write something really simple and just say, play the music, that's totally fine. But if you would like to elaborate, we would all love to hear more of the story, right? So I sent him a message to that regard, and here's what I got back. Sure, I'll try to expand on what happened. Per your suggestion, she purchased the Jacques harness as a birthday gift for me last year. She tried pegging me, but she didn't get anything out of it, which made it very hard for me to ask her to try again. But she recently brought it up herself and asked if I wanted to try it again. We discussed my fear that she wouldn't enjoy it, and that pegging would cause resentment. She wanted to give it another shot and try to get more comfortable with it. So after the discussion, she messaged me at work and asked if we could try pegging that night. That turned me on so much I couldn't even focus on work. When I got home, I indulged a bit in my fantasy and shaved my body hair, plugged myself, and caged myself, and I presented her with the key and the control to my hush. I think this is a butt plug called a Lovenz hush, I'm pretty sure. She had me give her oral, and when she was extremely turned on, she put on the strap on and took my plug out and fucked me while I was in doggy position. She got really into it and started fucking me for her pleasure, and this feeling of being used caused me a lot of mental pleasure. She orgasmed while fucking me. We swapped positions into missionary, but by that time I was feeling raw, and she unlocked me and jerked me off. And then he asked if there's any other details I want to know, but no, that is lovely. You did an excellent job of describing what happened. Congratulations, you two. It sounds like after the first time that she just kind of sat back and thought about it a while and was turned on by it. But, you know, when you do something brand new, sometimes it's hard to settle in about how you feel about it, kind of, you know? And I totally understand all of your fears about, oh, she's just going to do it for me and it might cause resentment and all that kind of stuff. So I do want to say, excellent job about discussing your fear that she wouldn't enjoy it and that the pegging would cause resentment. There is no better way to get past fears like that than to put them on the table and talk about them. I remember Brené Brown talking about what she called a relationship hack. And she says, whenever you're having fears like that, just tell your partner, okay, so like this is the story I'm making up in my head. I'm making up this story that you're going to try it again and that you're not going to enjoy it and that it's going to cause resentment. And when you do that, then what you're doing is putting all of your feelings out there, which is really important for your partner to know, talking about your fears and allowing them to respond. Because the vast majority of the time, you are making a story up that is not correct. It's based on your fears. So good for you for talking about the fears. Excellent job with that. And I was so happy to play the music for you guys. Congratulations. This next letter is from someone who English is a second language. I have recently discovered your podcast. It is a very pleasant experience due to relaxed approach. I like that, as sex, including some kind of power exchange, tends to be very dramatic and serious. Your brief laughings are so sweet and rather cozy. About me, I have not tried pegging, but I enjoy my Lalo Loki. I had to practice for some time to hit the sweet spot, so to speak. I figured out that if I sit on my knees in my bed with the vibrator up in my anus, vibrating, and masturbate and massage my penis and testicles, touching my skin all over my body and my butt, meanwhile, I start to moan with more and more voice, and to some extent also louder. When I come, sometimes I reach the condition where I lose control. Nice. When I am in that mode, I imagine a woman is looking at me when I start to play, and after a while she joins me in the bed. She takes over the control. Maybe she ties my wrists on my back to avoid any interference. She is sweet, and maybe she is even more dominant than I assume her to be. She forces me to swallow my cum. Kind regards. Thank you so much for sharing that. It sounds like you are well on your way to pegging if you find a partner who would like to explore that with you, but good for you for doing your own self-exploration to a pretty serious degree. It's excellent that you have discovered a way to really give yourself so much pleasure. And the voice thing, yes, I totally get that. When the voice is something that just comes out of you and you can't control, that's when you know you've hit a level of serious stimulation and pleasure that is extraordinary, because it just, the sound comes out of you and you can't stop it. I enjoyed your fantasy as well. Thank you so much for sharing that and for the letter. Here's my next one. Hey, Ruby, wanted to drop you a quick line just to thank you for all that you do. Your podcasts are great and your writings are even better. A great deal of conversational topics between my amazing wife and I came from knowledge I gathered from both, and I can't thank you enough. As I get older, I'm finding it more comfortable to be comfortable with my lifelong desires to cross-dress. So I'm going back and listening to older podcasts on the subject, and the three episodes you did on cross-dressing were fantastic. It was so nice to hear other people's stories and to feel a sense of reassurance that there isn't anything wrong with me. I also get to feel especially thankful that my wife is so understanding and wonderful about accepting this integral part of who I am. Should you do another episode on cross-dressing, I'd love to submit my story and experiences as a non-passable kink-focused cross-dresser if you're interested. Thanks. And she signs it Letty Munster, my cross-dressing name. So Letty was the one who really inspired me to schedule another cross-dressing podcast as well as the bisexual podcast. It's time again, and I'm so glad that you asked for that, Letty. Absolutely, and I would love to have your submission. So all of you cross-dressers out there, you have Letty to thank. January is the time. Thank you so much for writing, Letty. Here is another letter. Thanks for everything you do to support pegging. I'd love to get pegged, but haven't had the opportunity yet. I'm always trying to think what else would help open women up to it. Obviously, talking about it is the obvious solution. But for some women, it's not a subject they're open to discussing. And I think some just need exposure to pegging on their own terms and need to discover it on their own. For me, I wish there were a series of emails that I could send anonymously. Yeah, she might take them as spam and not read them, but depending on the subject line, you never know if there was a point where she actually clicked into it and maybe would actually explore some of the content. I could see it being a way to get them some information that might get them to think, that could be fun. I never thought about it like that. You obviously know the subject better than anyone else, but I think it could be a way to get some of the women that are more closed off to the idea initially to think about it. What percentage of women do you think know about how pleasurable the prostate is for men? I bet it's under 50%. I bet if there were some metrics you tracked, you could probably figure out if some of the ways to get pegging more mainstream are working or not. Wow, so, okay, here's the first thing. I don't think spam is a good way to introduce women to the topic of pegging. I really don't. I know that I live in California and I live in a remarkably more sexually open part of the population than, say, the Midwest or the South, potentially. At least more open in terms of people actually talking about things, writing articles and what have you, as opposed to maybe they are kinky but they totally hide it. But nonetheless, I do not think that spam is a good idea ever, ever. Are you kidding me? Spam is on the level of unwanted phone calls, you know? You just don't open them up because who knows what could be in there? It could be a virus that's going to fuck up your computer. It's just no, no, no. On the other hand, I understand your reluctance to bring it up if there is a likelihood of being rejected, which unfortunately does seem to be the case, and I would imagine is more the case more often in certain areas of the country, like I mentioned, maybe not New York or California or something like that, but yes, I understand your reluctance because nobody likes to feel shamed and nobody likes to be rejected. On the face of it, I mean, it's easy for me to say, well, just ask for it and say it and bring it up. And if they run away, then you know that that is not the person for you. On the other hand, I've had a little bit of experience in this because I was on a vanilla dating site for a while and I did not tell anybody about the pegging thing until the second date, right? So even the first date and the kiss goodbye and everything, and then the second date, I would tell them. And they ran for the hills. They totally ran for the hills. So I have a little bit of experience with the rejection and with the not understanding and not being open to it, certainly from the giving perspective as opposed to the receiving. But I still think that no matter how difficult it may be, that right off the bat, when you first meet someone, if you just bring it up, you don't have a whole lot invested. And again, it's easy for me to throw these words out there and say, well, you don't have a whole lot invested. Sometimes when you meet someone, everything seems to be clicking so wonderfully that it's pretty easy to get your hopes up. And it's pretty easy to project all kinds of the hopes you've been having and desires for so long onto this person who represents so much potential. That's kind of the dangerous part of doing the dating thing, and especially online dating where you talk a lot with texting and messages before you meet. I think it is important to meet pretty quickly because then only then can you determine if you have chemistry. People have asked me, how do I determine if someone is sexually open-minded or sex positive? I don't think there's any one thing to look for, but if you make a couple of relatively harmless sexual jokes or things like that, if you make some sort of sexual reference and watch them and they're squirming or they think it's disgusting or something like that, then yeah, probably not the right person. If they dressed incredibly modesty and are not into very much touch, I would assume also, I could be wrong, but I would assume they are not sex positive and sexually open-minded. But, you know, it's kind of a crapshoot because sometimes you get the ones that are dressed really, really modestly and go to church all the time and they're like wildcats in bed, right? And they're very sexually open-minded. It's just that their exterior does not at all represent their interior. So I feel for you that it is difficult to present this topic when there is such a large possibility that you're going to get rejected or that you're going to get judged or shamed, because that's really fucked up. It's too bad. It sucks. And I wish, again, for the magic wand to change it. If there's a way that you can find a space inside of yourself where you're totally okay with who you are and what you enjoy and what you desire in a partner sexually, then it's quite possible that if they judge you or shame you, you could do something like roll your eyes and say, okay, this is the 21st century and men have G-spots too. Did you not know this? If you feel okay about it yourself and you have let go of all of that shame and potential fear of judgment and that kind of thing, I would imagine it would be easier just to relax and respond in a calm manner as opposed to having all of those icky feelings get brought up inside you every time someone sort of goes, ew, I'm not into that. And I'll bet there's like this perfect response. That one that I just gave you, those words that I threw out there, came from somebody who was advising someone on Reddit. I think there was a situation where a couple had her sister walk in on them by accident. It's a younger sister, and she announced the fact that they do pegging like at Thanksgiving dinner or family dinner or something really shitty like that. And I loved what one person said, and it was something along the lines of, oh, please, Sherry, you don't know about pegging? This is the 21st century. Where have you been? If they're going to judge you and shame you, you can judge and shame them for not knowing about pegging and being informed about it and being close-minded. Because being shamed and judged, even if it's just implicitly, is very different than saying, oh, yeah, I know about that, but, you know, I'm really not into that. Then it's just a matter of you've chosen someone and that's not their interest. And there's no harm, no foul, even though it might be really disappointing. Anyway, but spam, no, definitely not. Now, you ask, what percentage of women do I think know how pleasurable the prostate is for men? Ooh, it depends on where you're talking about. Like in the country, in the United States, it kind of sounds like you're from the United States. I bet it's, I would say it's under 50. I bet probably 25% of women know at this point. And that's a whole lot more than it used to be, goodness. And then you make a statement at the end here where you say, if there were some metrics I tracked, I could probably figure out if some of the ways to get pegging more mainstream were working or not. Yeah, well, there's nobody tracking those metrics, man. Find me a person who have lots of disposable income that can do studies on pegging and track metrics on pegging and try different ways of exposing to people and study how they're reacting to it. I wish that were happening. I really, really do. All I can tell you is I'm doing the best I can to get the word out there. And I stick my nose into places that are sort of borderline and talk about pegging all the time. So I'm doing the best I can to spread the word, to normalize it, to correct all the myths and misconceptions and make it much less of a taboo. But I appreciate your letter. Thanks for expressing all that, and I wish you the very best of luck. Perhaps you'd like to attend my webinar. Where can I find a woman to peg me, you know? Because I hear you. I know you want it. Meanwhile, get really good at that solo play, and you will be ready for her when she shows up in your life. Hope to see you at the webinar. Thank you so much for the letter. So for the rest of this podcast, I have a surprise for you. I'm going to read you a story. It's called Tell Me Your Secrets. And please understand that me reading you this story is a study in communication, because it's really important that this be a study in communication and different ways to communicate and how to communicate and the possibilities inherent in the various styles of communication, rather than it being me reading you an erotic story, because that's not allowed on iTunes. So it's about communication, people. When I read this story, I want you to be thinking about the various types of communication in this story. Again, the title is Tell Me Your Secrets. I strained against the ropes, begging with her. She had me so cranked up. Jesus. Sherry, please. Please. I was laying on my back on a sturdy stationary massage table, beside myself with a desperate need to come. Before I'd even gotten on the table, Sherry had bent me over the side and matter-of-factly inserted my favorite ass plug. Then soft leather cuffs were fastened around my wrists and ankles. She attached my ankle cuffs to a spreader bar. My wrist cuffs were attached to each other and rested on my stomach. Sherry thought of everything, a small pillow under my head to support my neck, and a bolster under my knees. Once she had all that set up, she took a long length of thick, silky rope and wrapped it repeatedly around the table, effectively eliminating my ability to move. The rope went through the tie-downs on the spreader bar, the loops in all my cuffs. Yeah, I couldn't move. The sensation was delicious, and I relaxed into it at first. Setting it up had taken her a bit of time, and she let me watch. Then she put a blindfold on me. That's when my torture started. She lubed up my cock and teased it repeatedly, just hard enough to titillate and excite, rarely touching the head. Then she'd take her hand away and turn on the vibrating plug in my ass. Occasionally, she'd come up to the top of the table, kiss me, and play with my sensitive nipples. Then back to my cock. My nipples. The plug. I lost track of time, and I turned into a writhing thing of need. So close to coming, unbearably close. Once, Sherry realized she'd gone just a bit too far and saw my muscles tighten in that way they do right before I come. She grabbed the head of my cock and squeezed just hard enough for it to be painful. That shut down my orgasm pronto and almost made me cry. I felt like I'd been laying there forever, hoping each time that this would be the time that I'd get to come, and getting disappointed each time, but loving it. Then I started begging, and she was deaf to my pleas. She just laughed in response and kept playing with me. Finally, she got up right next to my ear. I could feel her hot breath. Tell me one of your secrets, Miles. This was a game she played. I was always reluctant, but she made it the price I paid to have the orgasm I so badly wanted. She made it clear from the first time she did this to me that the information I divulged needed to be honest and real. What did I jerk off to that I'd never told her about? Her hand began to stroke my cock again, and I flinched at the touch. I was so fucking sensitive at that point. Oh, Jesus, Sherry. I've always wanted to try. Well, she stopped stroking me. Her fingers danced over my sore balls. I so needed to come. You can do it, Miles. I know you can, babe. Her voice was soft and persuasive, sexy as hell. I've thought about you fucking me and, she turned on my butt plug and I squirmed. Having a guy, well, suck my cock. That's so fucking hot, Miles. Well done, my love. Suddenly, my butt plug was turned up, sending exquisite sensations through my entire body. The teasing was over. Sherry's lips and tongue captured the head of my cock, and I started at the sensation. It was intensely warm, soft, and all-encompassing. Her hand jerked off the shaft and synchronized with her mouth into a beautiful dance of sensation. She'd teased me for so long, I wasn't sure if I could come. Sherry seemed sure. I roared with every spurt of cum that left my cock and flooded into her mouth. Jesus, it felt so fucking good. I'd never had orgasms of this length and intensity before Sherry started edging me. Never even knew they existed. The waves and spurts and spasms went on and on. Sherry's hands, lips, tongue, and that damn plug kept going, even after my orgasm was over. She wasn't stopping, and things suddenly got way too intense. Ah, Sherry, okay, okay, please stop. Again, my begging fell on deaf ears. The intensity was almost painful and still kind of pleasurable, but too pleasurable, too much. Everything, everywhere was so sensitive. Sherry had never done this before, and I wondered what the fuck was going on. And still, she kept going. There wasn't much I could do about it. I was tied down really well to that table. Finally, I started letting out little screams in a high-pitched voice that totally embarrassed me. The plug turned off, and her tongue stopped torturing the head of my cock. She let go of me slowly, while I twitched uncontrollably. My entire body was pulsing with waves. She came up to the top of the table and kissed me, sharing my cum with me. So fucking hot. I felt my cock jump, even after all he'd been put through. She pulled the plug gently out of my ass and cleaned me up with a soft towel. The untying went slowly, releasing all the cuffs and ropes until I was free. Only then did she remove the blindfold, and I kept my eyes closed. The light was too bright. She helped me off the table and onto the bed, wrapped me in a warm fuzzy blanket, and big spooned me. Everything still pulsed. I was exhausted, spent, done. Her arm around me felt good. The warmth and presence of her behind me was comforting. I faded off to sleep pretty quickly. Sherry smiled. Miles was snoring. She gently moved off the bed and quietly went into the bathroom. She pushed her hand underneath the big stack of towels and retrieved the small notebook and pen hidden there. She opened it and began to write. Number 3. Get fucked by me while getting a blowjob from a guy. She smiled and closed the book, placing it with the pen back under the towels. They had so much time to explore. Someday. So I hope you liked that study in communication, in ways to get people to communicate. That's what this was an example of an alternative way to get your partner to communicate with you. I hope you enjoyed that. I wanted to fill up this podcast a little bit, as opposed to searching for a whole bunch of more questions, because they're a bit buried at this point. Those will happen next week. So, you can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. Pegging101.com has informational pegging articles only with no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, which you can find a sampling of under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you want to. The Follow tab has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, and check out my Facebook page and my MeWe page. If you order some sexy new toys from Entice Me, use the coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your purchase. Send your questions to ruby@peggingparadise.com. No question is too vulgar, too vile, or too vicious. Many listeners are going to learn along with you, so don't be shy. Throw those questions in my mailbox. Or you can leave your questions at 805-500-6544. Thank you so much for downloading and listening, everyone. You rock. Happy pegging. And #NoShame.